It's long been an ambition of Russia to have bases in the Red Sea, and Sudan would seem to be the most likely candidate, as it had been a very non-aligned country that also didn't have overly strong relations with the Gulf partners of the United States. But the initial Russian negotiations were concluded before Sudan joined the Abraham Accords. What I think we're seeing here is a long-standing Sudanese practice of trying to extract max goodies out of various partners. And here, I don't think the partner that they're going to extract things from is Russia. I think this is aimed at the United States and, to a lesser extent, Israel. We've heard this story before. The issue is always you can make an agreement with the Sudanese leadership, but they say, well, it has to be ratified by our legislature. We don't have a legislature yet. That's a really good negotiating tactic because it allows Sudan to basically pocket concessions, pocket promises, and then see if they will be matched by the West. It's important to note that Sudan only came off of terrorist sanctions, supportive sponsorship of terrorist sanctions as a result of signing the Abraham Accords. And if it develops a large naval base, it could be subject to CATSA sanctions. So Russian naval might, in particular, has been discredited in recent months. I mean, the Black Sea Fleet, which was the only fleet of the Russian Navy with a regular freshwater port, is combat ineffective. It's basically a virtual prisoner in Novorossiysk. It's had to abandon Crimea. So I don't think, and Russia's ability to produce advanced weapons is questionable. So I don't think this is a done deal. And I don't think this is as significant as Sergei Lavrov says it's going to be. He's announced that this deal's been concluded at least three times, but there's always the same obstacles.
But what's the strategic impact of such an agreement as part of Moscow's efforts to restore regular naval presence in various parts of the globe?
If it goes through, it will be a big strategic advancement for Russia. It won't be as big as the establishment of the port of Tartus, because Tartus, it's much easier, closer, can support 11 ships. What we're hearing of this agreement is it's a maximum of four ships, and the ability to support them from Port Sudan is limited just because it's more difficult for supplies to get in there. And the amount of basing presence allowed is relatively small. It's only 300 sailors. But it will be strategically significant. It will allow Russia to have a permanent presence in the Red Sea. The United States does not have basing facility in the Red Sea. We only have them on the other side of the Arabian Peninsula. So it would be a major, major development. But again, it remains to be seen if it can happen. And it remains to be seen if Russia has the strategic resources, even if an agreement were concluded, if they have the weapons, the money, and the strategic depth to actually position ships in Port Sudan.
In 2017, Moscow struck a deal with Syrian President Bashar al-Assad to extend its lease of Syrian port Tartus for 49 years after signing the agreement that allows Russia to keep up to 11 warships there. It has moved to modernize and expand that facility. How could a base on the Red Sea and another one on the Mediterranean revive the Soviet-era practice of constantly rotating its warships in strategic locations?
It could revive this practice, but there's a couple of factors that come into play. The first is the strategic exhaustion of Russia and the Russian military. 2 years ago, the idea that Russia would be importing weapons from Iran, that was ridiculous. It was laughable. What we've seen since then is that Russia is pretty much on the ropes in terms of military production and military sustainment. So even if they get such an agreement, they'll be hard-pressed to station four ships down there under current circumstances. The second thing is, Turkey has invoked the Montreux Convention and prevented Russian warships from passing the Bosporus. So for Russia to get ships to the Red Sea, they would have to come either from the Baltics, the North Sea Fleet, or the Far Eastern Fleet. All of those are long, long, long hauls, very expensive, require a lot of sustainment, and it's uncertain if they will have any kind of port access on the way. So far, the Russian military has been exposed as being a much more incompetent force than any military analyst thought, myself included.